Hello, I'm Caroline and welcome to this podcast. If you want to learn more about how you can make a real difference in the world, then you're in the right place. Keep listening. I work as a communications officer for the University of Oxford and I've made it my personal mission to spread the word about local groups of people who've had a good idea and are making it happen together. We live in a world with some very big problems, but when communities take a stand, we can start to see a difference right away. Whether this is tackling climate change, making more space for nature, reducing waste, or combating air pollution. Even better, when we do this together, we can simultaneously tackle social isolation and loneliness and help people to have purpose-filled, meaningful lives. In this episode, we're putting the spotlight on food waste. It's a simple phrase, but one that belies a huge problem. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, around one third of all the food produced globally for human consumption is wasted. This happens at every level of the food chain, from farms and supermarkets, right up to our kitchens. Not only does this waste resources and money, but when food waste ends up in landfill, it becomes a major contributor to climate change because it emits methane as it rots down. Shockingly, a high proportion of all the food that is wasted in the UK is perfectly edible and could have been used to make nutritious meals. Consequently, the phrase food waste can often evoke feelings of guilt, frustration, or even disgust, but perhaps this isn't the best way to look at it if we want to make some real progress to solving the problem. In this episode, I'm going to visit three projects that have given food waste a complete rebrand, transforming it from a problem into an opportunity, and one that can help communities become both more sustainable and more connected. Together, these cover the entire consumer journey, how we shop for food, how we cook it, and what we do with the inevitable leftovers. But first, how do you stop perfectly good food from going to landfill? Here in Oxford, the Oxford Food Hub acts as a central repository that collects and redistributes surplus food from wholesalers, supermarkets, and other organisations, and they distribute this to around 150 local charities and community groups. The project is supported by charitable donations and volunteers, but it has a huge impact. In 2020, they estimated that they redistributed around 600 tonnes of surplus food, with a retail value of around £1.5 million. One of the groups that the Oxford Food Hub supplies is Cherwell Larder, founded in 2020 by Emily Connolly as an emergency response to feed families at risk of food insecurity because of the coronavirus pandemic. This short-term measure then evolved into a permanent project that makes surplus food available for everyone in the local community. At this point, I should explain that a community larder isn't the same as a food bank. Food banks provide emergency food parcels to those who have been referred by social services and are similar organisations. Their aim is to ensure that the most vulnerable people can still get enough to eat. Typically, the food products that are donated to food banks aren't surplus foods, and many of them are bought by customers when they're doing their usual shop. For food larders, on the other hand, the mission is more about stopping good food from being wasted. Consequently, they mostly, or almost entirely, deal with surplus food that would have been landfilled otherwise. These are made available to communities at a reduced cost, or even for free. Anyone can join a larder, although often there may be a small subscription fee. The Cherwell Larder is open every Thursday and Saturday between 11 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon at Exeter Hall in Kidlington. There's no membership fee, so anyone is welcome to come and help themselves to what's on offer in return for a small donation. I went along one Saturday to see the project in action. Any thoughts I had about there just being maybe a few crates of some stale baguettes or limp lettuces were instantly blown away. So I'm here in a large indoor hall. There are crates stacked on top of each other filled with food. In the centre, the volunteers are unloading the crates, sorting out the produce and putting it onto the tables that line every side where people can just come and help themselves. So this looks like the fruit and veg station. May I ask what we've got today?
We've got spinach, a lot of rocket, we've got some herbs, coriander, sage, We've had carrots, potatoes, onions, chilies, pak choy.
And it would all have gone to waste?
It would have all gone to landfill, but some of it is going to another food bank.
So what do we have here? Is this the bread station?
Yeah, we've got bread. We've got different bread from Marks & Spencer, from Tesco, all nice fresh bread.
It looks absolutely lovely. I mean, this is high quality stuff, and it would all go to waste.
Mm-hmm. And you can freeze them, and then you put it back in the oven for a little bit longer, and it's all nice and fresh again. So
yeah, it smells like a bakery over here.
No, it's lovely, isn't it?
So what have we got over here?
Well, we've got some ready meals that have been frozen and are now defrosted, so they just need to go in the fridge. But we've got chicken madras curry, and we've got some vegetable curry and rice. But it's all, you know, to save it going into landfill.
And it really would have just been landfill?
Yes, if places like this and the food bank hadn't taken it, then it was destined for the landfill.
On top of it all, the project even has a cafe, the Climatarian Kitchen, which also uses entirely surplus food. With so much going on, it was a little while before I got a chance to speak with Emily, who founded the larder, and ask her how it all began.
So I'm with Emily here, who is the founder behind the whole operation. So how did it begin? Where did the idea come from? What drove you to do it?
Right, so how it began was during the COVID crisis, when we thought there might be a lockdown. I was quite concerned about how some of the families at my school might be able to actually physically feed their children, because there were shortages at shops, and I knew they had, say, four or five kids, and were getting free school meals.
So this is way back in March 2020?
March 2020, yeah. And so I was kind of worried about especially those families not having enough, because, you know, if you think about it, that's like 16 extra meals a week, 20 extra meals a week that you have to try to come up with if you do get free school meals when there was nothing in the shops. So Cherwell Larder originally started as just a group of moms who were going to cook extra and make them available for these families. So I started this Google forum saying, "Will you need help? Do your children get free school meals?" And it was originally like 12 families around Kidlington that signed up. That was on a Friday. Then over the weekend, it turned into like 350 families all over the country who had gotten hold of this form and said, "Yes, I need help." So then I thought, well, this is a bigger problem than I'm going to be able to solve by cooking extra, or, you know, the six of us, we're going to be able to solve by cooking extra. So I got in touch with Fair Share and Oxford Food Hub and sort of started triaging the families into various groups. So at that time, and Kidlington did not have a larder. We had a food bank, and I worked very closely with Melvina, the founder of the food bank, or the person who runs North Oxfordshire Food Bank, to sort of see how we could set up a larder to help deal with the COVID crisis that wouldn't kind of interfere with the food bank. So it kind of started basically as an idea of, well, we'll get people enough food so that they can have a reliable top-up being delivered. So the first delivery was like 295 people, and now we have over 2,000 who've registered for the services. And now, of course, we have a marketplace 3 days a week. We've just stopped doing deliveries as part of the sort of new strategy. But yeah, for the first few months, it was just running out of my garage. And if Kathy at Oxford Food Hub hadn't thought I had an honest faith, I mean, literally the first distribution was me going down to the food hub with two vans, no idea what to do, no credentials of any kind. And I said, "I've got 150 families here," you know, and told her kind of the numbers and where we were delivering, and I needed a van to go to Bicester and a van to go to Kidlington. But I had no proof of it besides this form, and she just said, "Oh, you have a kind face," and let us fill up the vans, and we took them, one van to Bicester Mutual Aid and one van to my garage, and that's basically how it started.
So basically you took a van to this hub that collected all this surplus food, you brought it back to your garage, you parceled it up into food parcels and sent it to the people who you knew were struggling.
That's right, yeah.
So it really did evolve as a COVID emergency response.
It was, yes.
And now it's become a long-term thing.
Yes, yeah.
But Emily didn't stop there. Alongside the larder, she started a new initiative to help people grow more of their own food, called Harvest at Home.
So it really did evolve as a COVID emergency response.
It was, yes.
And now it's become a long-term thing.
Yes, yeah. So that, and then Harvest at Home was kind of in parallel to that, because there were so many shortages, even in surplus. And I grow my own veg, and I thought, well, there's no reason we can't have people start growing their own food, lettuce and stuff, so they at least have something they can cut and grow again and eat at home. And we started sending out these starter kits to people to grow their own food, mm-hmm. specifically recruiting through food banks and food larders and compost bins, so they could sort of learn how to compost at home and make their own compost and kind of become empowered a little bit and become a bigger part of their own food supply chain and understand that process a bit better. Yeah, so we've over 900 people have started growing food through those starter kits.
According to Emily, there's no reason why every local area couldn't have their own community larder, and this would enable all of us to fundamentally change the way we shop, so that instead of heading straight to the supermarket with our lists, we call in at the larder first with an open mind and base our meals around what needs using up.
They're actually doing a great favor to the planet, anyone who comes here to use that food. And so trying to get people to understand that actually coming here, it's not saying that you're financially vulnerable. It's saying that you care enough about the planet to shop surplus first. I think that part of kind of switching that message also helped people feel empowered.
I really like that mantra, shop surplus first. So use up the glut first. And then if you still need something, then go to the supermarket and top it up. But yeah,
absolutely.
Surplus first. That's what we should all do, really.
I
then asked about the cafe, which I'd noticed producing such enticing meals. Were they all made from surplus food? Could you tell me then about this fabulous-looking kitchen, then? You're not going to tell me that this restaurant-quality-looking food coming out of there was all from surplus?
It's all surplus. Today, we're having Mexican food. Several people who live here brought spices so we could use them in the larder and have a Mexican day. So we have basically two packs of spices. Otherwise, everything else came from Oxford Food Hub.
Seeing all that wonderful fresh food at the larder gave me quite an appetite. So for my next visit, I'm heading to Down to Earth Community Cafe, a zero-waste pop-up cafe in the market town of Wantage. Part of their work is to host community events and training courses, with a focus on using surplus food to bring people together. Every month, Down to Earth take over a village hall and invite members of the local community to prepare and cook food together before sharing a communal meal. The menu's always decided on the day because the food is almost entirely surplus food rescued and redistributed by the Oxford Food Hub. I went along to their March event to meet project founder Kate Farrington. I can't help but feel a bit in the way. All around me there is chopping, there is grating, there is boiling of vegetables, and so many different things. Like it's potatoes, peppers, squash, carrot, courgette. It looks like it's going to be a real feast. I spoke to Fran, who is Kate's daughter, who told me a little bit more about how the project works. So what sort of people come then? You have people who come to do the cooking and then more people who come to enjoy the meal?
Yes. So most people come to cook as well. So it's more of like a community experience.
This event was a particularly special one because the food was being prepared by recent graduates of Down to Earth's training course, which aims to equip people with the skills and confidence to be able to cook inventively with surplus food rather than be a slave to prescriptive recipes.
This time we have people who have recently taken part in the training course, the cooking course. So they're also taking part, and this is kind of like the end of their training where they'll receive their certificates. And it's like a celebration of all that they've learnt over the 5 weeks that they did the training. And then we also just have other people who come, so friends and just local members of the community who come and join in as well. So it's a really nice mix of people.
Back in the kitchen, I asked Sharon, one of the cooks, what was on the menu. Sharon is one of those who have been on the course, and I can see her now, very busy chopping away. Sharon, what's on the menu?
So we've got some roasted vegetables, and then this is going to go into the chickpea curry, and then we've got some roasted butternut squash as well, some couscous, and some other really yummy things.
Sorry, what's that spice on the squash?
Cinnamon.
It's such a shame that we can't record smells for the podcast, because it smells lovely. Having seen all this wonderful-looking food being prepared, I was keen to ask Fran where it was all coming from. So, I mean, this food isn't what I'd say was waste. It looks really good, really fresh, as though you've just gone to the supermarket and bought it.
Yeah.
Come on, where's it coming from?
So it's coming from the Oxford Good Food Hubs, and it's this social enterprise that gets all the surplus food from supermarkets. So it's not the food that they've thrown out, but the food that they just aren't able to stock and sell. They've over-ordered it from their warehouses. And then they put it all in their warehouse and you can go and pick some up. And yeah, it's all amazing and fresh. So it's really great.
They can't sell it.
Yes,
it would have
exactly.
gone to waste.
But exactly. So it all would have been gone
good.
To landfill.
Yeah. Is it, you never actually know what you're going to get? Is it a pick and mix?
It is a little bit unpredictable, but you can sort of put in a general idea of like, oh, if there's any peppers, can we have some? Or if there's any broccoli, we'd like that. And they can set aside that stuff for you. One time we requested chocolate and we got like a bunch of Quality Street, which wasn't exactly what we were hoping for.
How do you
for,
cook but, with Quality Street?
We didn't in the end. Just a little bit of, improvisation. But yeah, so you do have a tiny bit of requesting that you can do, but generally speaking it is like let's see what we've got and let's improvise, and that's part of what actually the training course is about as well, so it links really well. Yeah.
That's something perhaps we don't think about when you say, oh, just waste less food. I mean, in many cases it comes down to knowing what to do with say this vegetable or it's, and I think increasing confidence is something that's not always part of the conversation.
And also you might feel really confident to buy that particular vegetable to do that recipe, but then you might have like four of that left over. So what do you then do with it? So knowing like the basics of, okay, these are the flavours that go together, and then I'm going to try this out and make this great salad.
Of course, when you don't know exactly what you'll be getting, this can mean having to be a bit creative in the kitchen, including making desserts out of vegetables. That's a lot of carrot. What are we doing here?
We are going to make a delicious vegan carrot cake, which I have never made in my life before.
And I just heard you saying you're going to be very brave. Why are we being brave?
Because we have to risk our reputation by trying to substitute ingredients we don't have and being creative.
I think in this case it's ground ginger that we don't have. So what are we doing instead?
We're going to use fresh ginger and hopefully that will improve our recipe.
We could end up with a very gingery carrot cake. It could be the new sensation. But in the end, it wasn't the ginger that was the problem. An inventive addition of lime juice unfortunately reacted rather strongly with the baking powder.
You do only once in life, I guess.
So it's reacting, or it's...
Yeah, so it's reacting with the baking soda, I guess.
We have a mini volcano here in the carrot cake mix because the baking soda is already reacting, but we're going to go with it, are we?
We're going to roll with it.
We're going to roll with it, with the fresh ginger as well.
Yes.
But it is precisely these skills, having the confidence to use up what you have and be a bit inventive, rather than aim for a picture-perfect result from a set recipe, that are so important to making sure food doesn't go to waste. Back to Sharon. So you've been taking part in the cooking course?
Yes. It's been really informative and it's just been good.
What made you want to do it? What were you hoping to get?
We're becoming more aware of food waste and the impact it's having. And just to be able to maybe learn about how to utilise what I've got in the house. And so I'm a member of the larder and I pick things up at the mix. So it's just about how to utilise what we have rather than throwing it away or going out and buying something different.
What do you think you've improved the most through the course?
Probably me working on my fear of trying something different or something new. So instead of, if I don't have the appropriate spice or the appropriate item in my cupboard, I'll say, well, okay, well, how about we try it with something else? Uh-huh. Rather than tootling off to Waitrose to go, oh, I've got to get this one. Found that I've learned that there are other options that you've got.
That must be really empowering to feel that you don't have to stick rigidly to a recipe and like go out and buy exactly what it says. You can just mix in what you have, and
it's quite a nice feeling. It gives you I suppose it's an element of freedom. It's almost like our grandparents, how they cooked. They didn't rigidly follow a recipe. It was very much like, oh, I've got all of this, let's see what we can create. And I feel that the course has given me that little bit of confidence to be able to do that as well.
Finally, during a break in the preparations, I got a chance to speak to Kate, who told me a bit about the project's history. Similar to the Kidlington Larder, the idea for the community cafe was inspired during the COVID-19 lockdowns, when Kate started volunteering with local organisations that were distributing food parcels. During this time, she realised how many people struggled to access healthy, nutritious food. She told me how this inspired her to look more deeply into the problem.
And I started doing a little bit of research using the Oxfordshire Community Foundation. They do a lot of research around food vulnerability, and I just realised that there's such a huge need for good food, and there's so much good food that's going to waste, that it's sort of just bringing them together in some way that I was quite keen to do. So
I mean, you're doing two things here. You're not just stopping food from going to waste, you're bringing people together as well. Was that important to
you? It is important. I mean, bringing community together is very important. In fact, that was highlighted during COVID, because people were struggling from sort of feeling isolated and not being able to see family members. So that also was highlighted to me. So it was lovely to be able to. I mean, it's not like that now, you know, we've sort of passed the lockdown, but I think people still have this need to come together.
At this point, the guests started to arrive for the meal, including a rather special one. Well, the meal is just about to start, and we have a very special guest, the mayor of Wantage. Hello.
Hi.
So why are you here?
I've been very graciously invited to come and see the community larder, see the cooking preparation, and more importantly, to hand out certificates at the end. So I'm delighted to be here. I think it's excellent what's been done here, and it just shows that don't go by a sell-by date, go by how the food looks. In many cases it's very nutritious when it's gone past those dates, and don't waste it.
After a happy hour of conversation and good food, it was evident that the meal had been enjoyed by everybody.
Did you enjoy your meal?
Yeah, excellent.
Fantastic. Nice variety of things.
What was your favourite thing?
I enjoyed the chickpea curry.
I would go along with that as well.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
And as for that carrot cake, it was delicious. And there wasn't any left. Whilst these projects demonstrate that much of what we think of as food waste is actually perfectly edible, there are always things that we can't use up by eating. Those banana skins or orange peels, for instance. But happily, there's an easy solution to stop them going to landfill, and one that produces a nutrient-rich soil to benefit the next crop of plants. I'm talking about composting, of course. Local project Replenish works to help individuals, community groups, and organisations get started with composting. I spoke to project coordinator Anaïs to find out more.
Hi Caroline, my name's Anaïs and I run the Replenish project. So that's a project that's funded by Oxfordshire County Council, and we help residents of Oxfordshire to eat well and waste less. In particular, we support people to reduce their food waste so that they can save money and reduce their impact on the environment.
So where does composting come into this?
Yeah, so I mean, as much as people can try to reduce their waste, you can't always get rid of everything. You know, there's always going to be the odd fruit peel, tea bag, coffee grounds, that sort of thing. So we always encourage people to deal with that waste in the most environmentally friendly way possible by composting at home if they can.
How do you help them to do this?
So we do all sorts of community engagement activities. So we've been running workshops with local community groups. We do a lot of work in schools, which is really fun. And the kids, initially, they get a bit dubious about the idea of having a look in a worm bin, but they do get quite excited afterwards when they realise it isn't quite as disgusting as they think. And yeah, we do a lot of work with community gardens as well. So we did a project recently. We helped a community garden in Banbury to set up their own composting system so that they can compost all of their food waste on site and then use the compost on their garden beds. And that's a really nice way of helping people who come into the garden just to kind of see how it can work and get a bit more in contact with how waste can be dealt with in a more natural way.
So you're really making it a circular process, the nutrients going back into the soil where the plants came from. That's great.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's the kind of amazing thing about it, is that all of the beneficial organisms that are part of composting the waste, they are still in there when you put the compost on, you know, whatever you're using, so pot plants or in your garden beds, they're in there and they're going to help feed the soil and give it more life. We also recently helped a local art gallery who were looking to create a community garden as part of an exhibition, and we made a DIY worm farm which they could use as part of it, which I think was quite a nice way of showing people how composting works.
I think perhaps for a lot of us, composting is a bit of a mystery, really, what exactly goes on. Could you just describe in a nutshell what composting is?
Composting is essentially a way of recycling kitchen and garden waste at home. So you put the waste into some kind of container and then naturally occurring bacteria and other organisms eat the waste and turn it into compost. For me, it's a bit like making a cake. You need to get the right balance of ingredients for it to work. Broadly, most of the materials that you would compost can be put into two categories. So we call those greens and browns. And so greens tend to have a high water content. They're quite rich in nitrogen. So things like food waste and grass clippings, we call greens. And then there's browns, and those tend to have a low water content and are rich in carbon. So that's your paper, cardboard, wood branches. And it's really important to have an equal balance of greens and browns in your compost and for it to work.
I've never heard composting likened to cake making before.
Well, you've got to find a way to to make it understandable for people. I think people think it's quite complicated, but actually it's quite simple when you know a few little bits.
Is composting something you think we should all be doing?
Absolutely. I think anyone who's got pot plants at home or has a garden or an allotment can really benefit from making their own compost, which they can use to feed the soil. I mean, of course, the kind of composting system you can have depends on the space you have available and your budget. So most composters normally go outside, but if you don't have any outdoor space, you can still use a small worm farm composter, which you can fit under the kitchen sink. And you absolutely don't have to shell out on an expensive container. It's perfectly possible to make your own compost bin. And we've got some guides to doing that on our website if anyone is interested in finding out. And if anyone decides not to do composting, but they still want to do something environmentally sort of sound with their food waste, then the next best thing is to put it in your food recycling caddy.
Composting can have a bit of an image problem sometimes. It's often seen as quite a dirty or messy thing to do. What would you say to people who are still unconvinced?
Yeah, a lot of people worry that compost bins are going to smell really bad. And I think the reason for that is that a lot of people who've tried composting before just put all their food waste on its own in a container and hope for the best. And unfortunately, it doesn't work quite like that because the food waste gets really wet and sloppy. That means there isn't any room for oxygen. And if there's no oxygen, then all of the aerobic bacteria and other organisms that break down the waste can't survive. And the only bacteria that survive are anaerobic bacteria. And these bacteria, when they break down your food waste, it gets really smelly and it takes a whole lot longer. So I always encourage people to make sure there's plenty of oxygen in their compost bin by adding lots of browns like paper and cardboard, which can make the conditions less wet and give more room for oxygen.
It sounds almost like a science experiment.
It feels like that. It's very... I love looking at my compost bin because every time I look, there's something different going on. There's different creatures doing their thing. It's really fascinating.
I gather that one of the organisations you helped to get started with composting is Restore, a local charity for people affected by mental health conditions.
Yes, so that was a project that I loved working on. They approached me and said that they wanted to start growing their own food on site. And so I helped them to set up a composting system, which they could use to kind of add nutrition to their soil. And we set up a big tumbler, and they've composted kilos of food waste since then. But because they run a cafe, they do end up with having quite a lot of waste. And it's been fantastic. Apparently a lot of the members that they work with have gotten really excited about it and really enjoyed getting involved in the process of composting, but also growing their own food.
I had a quick call with Samuel, who works for Restore, to learn more about their composting project and the effect it has had on the people who use their services.
And you can see how at the beginning was something that not many people were used to, not many people were doing composting, also because of the nature of the place where our service users live. Now you can see that there is more and more interest and to see how the compost is developing and how it changes the texture, the colour. Working with this member, it was like, we put a bucket of food waste, a bucket of wood chips, and we turned the tumbler, the compost there, and he was like, oh, I can't wait to see the final product of this. No, and you could see that he was really excited about the whole process. No?
So there you have it. Three inspiring ways that we can all start to make a difference against food waste by changing the way we shop for our food, changing the way we cook our food, and changing how we deal with the leftovers. I hope it's given you plenty of ideas. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.